Good afternoon, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. This is Blake Ruby. How are you? Hope you're doing well. I'm doing all right. Well, another week has gone by. And welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. And are you ready for me to say some things that might check your faith? All you people out there, and maybe extraterrestrials too that are listening in. I like to think that because I know they're out there. And one of the things I really want to do is what I'd like to see before I leave this earth, this earthly existence, is to have contact, is to see that contact between human beings and extraterrestrials. All these problems we're going through could be resolved if we do that, like the pandemic, for example, just one thing, for example. And, you know, I talk about a lot of different stuff, and as I said, you know, I might check your faith if you're a Christian. You know, I've got some very interesting ideas about Christianity and what is the truth exactly in regard to some things. And we're nearing that very special time of the year, you know, when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. If you listen to my previous shows, I've got a different take on that. But anyway, I think the time is always right for this kind of spirituality. And I know there's other people who have their shows on BBS radio who talk about spirituality, evolution, those kinds of things. Spirituality, in other words. And, you know, with all you got to do is surf the television channels, take a look at the movies, all the violence. Is there anybody out there that thinks that most of the movies aren't violence-oriented? Anybody? Does anybody out there think that maybe we haven't had a pretty big history of warfare in the world? Well, then, the time is always right for my kind of talk, if you will. Because I take it to the other extreme, whereas people will throw violence at you like you've never seen before, always trying to make it even more violent every time. The movies trying to make it more and more violent. Well, I make it more and more spiritual, so to speak. And I do test the faith of people. Some people might say, I don't want to listen to that. I can't handle it. Well, I talk about the truth, like Jesus did. And I do compare myself with Jesus, yes, because I know who he was. And some people might say blasphemy, but Jesus, he was the blasphemer himself. He was the king of blasphemy. And he changed the law of Moses. And what I propose is a new type of understanding reality, which challenges the teachings of Jesus. Not that I'm saying that it was all wrong. I believe in most of it, but just some things are a little different according to what I believe. Well, and by the way, when I talk about God, I talk about the supreme creator of the universe, who initiated the Big Bang, who created one solar system after another. The plan was for there to be co-creator gods in solar systems, which would aid in the expansion, the growth of the universe. And what is greater than growth, my friends? From little babies, we are born and we grow to become adults. That process of growth is so precious to the supreme creator of the universe because it's all about growth. When you think about that power, that entity that's out there, probably bigger than galaxies, many galaxies combined, an energy force so incredible, with a power that is magical, a type of special power that's magical. But our mother and father God, who created us, our spirits and our souls, who know how to apply those cosmic forces to which the supreme creator put into effect, so those that knew how to use them, speak the right words to get those forces moving and create whatever they want to create, whether it's a solar system, planets, suns, plant life, animal life, children, spirit children, our mother and father God also had an existence like us many eons ago, my friends, on a planet similar to this one, perhaps, somewhere in the universe many, many years ago. And now they're spirits, like we're going to be, like we are, inside of us. Does anybody deny that you have a spirit in your body? You dream at night. How can you see with your eyes closed if you don't have a spirit in your body? Anyway, so our mother and father God who created our souls and spirits, and some of us might not have been born in this solar system, maybe another solar system on another sun, breathed into existence by the mother and father God. And by the way, I keep hearing all the talk about God himself. There was a book on TBN, God himself. People keep going down this God only, God the Father only road, and this just makes me laugh, kind of. As if young souls, you know, they don't understand that we live in a universe of the positive, negative, yin and the yang, the alpha and the omega, male and female. Father God, you know he loves his mother God very much. He's a man. He was also in his physical existences on other planets through that process of reincarnation, growing up to become that co-creator God, living on the spirit world, that world on fire where the spirit can live. The spirit can live in the fire. And Father God produces, reproduces. You wouldn't take that right away from the Father God, would you? Or maybe you just, you can't think that because you're not in touch with reality yet. So you're more fantasy-oriented. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on the cross, doesn't say in the Bible how many times, how many daily bowel movements he had, or how many times he had to relieve himself behind a bush. But that's reality. If you can't handle that, then you're fantasy-oriented. Your mind is off in a fantasy world. You don't understand reality because you're a young soul, probably. That's the process of evolution we're going through. Yes. So I've got some reading to do for you today, but I want to, on that subject, I would like to be a voice actor. I've been practicing a lot. You know, I'm a singer. I told you that before on previous shows that I love to sing. But I'm not going to make it to that level that some people are. And I only just began like about 10 years ago to practice. Even though when I was in the Army, I used to sing cadence while marching and running. But as far as taking it up seriously, I told you before on previous shows, I've been to the Wounded Warriors on Fort Sam Houston many times and sang for them. And I'll probably do it again. 6 years. Going on 7 years, done that. Actually, 7 going on 8 years, trying to get this computer up to at the same time. I got locked for a little while. But I'm not going to become famous singing. I've kind of resolved myself to that. But a voice actor, I've been told that I have a good radio voice. And that's one reason I have a show. I enjoy doing my show very much. It allows me to talk for an hour. And it's good for one's public speaking skills. I'm going to talk about this near-death experience that's near and dear to my heart. It's been a while since I have related it, but I'm going to do it again. Another thing I wanted to talk about, but before I do that, another thing I wanted to talk about is suicide. Suicide prevention, especially at this time of the year. And I can relate to people who take their own lives and those that try and fail. It's a very delicate subject to talk about, but I've got a very important key thing to tell you that will help stop suicide if you will only remember this. Are you ready? Because I'm serious. This will help stop suicide if you can remember only what I'm about to tell you. All right? For people that are close to you, people that are close to me, we can't really, let me rephrase that, we can't really stop it. I mean, you can discourage people, and maybe it might work for a few isolated cases, instances, situations, but in the long run, people are still going to take their own lives. Why? Because human beings are co-creator gods in the making, and they have that free will to do it. They have the free will to do anything. But I reference this book that I read called Beyond the Darkness, Beyond the Darkness, remember that, by Angie Fenimore. She tried to take her own life and wasn't able, she came back to life. She didn't, wasn't able to do it. But it was a good thing she didn't. But the point is, she met Father God, and he was angry. And whether it's Father God or Mother God, or both of them, they are angry, in most cases, I think, for people when they throw in the towel and give up on life because it's too hard. Well, life is supposed to be hard. How do you think you're evolving? It's only, we come here to live our lives in, here on Earth, planet Earth is a very special learning environment. There's a lot of things that can kill us, you know, besides animals, there's lightning, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes exploding, insects that can kill you, poisonous insects, snakes. You know, there's a thousand and one different ways to die. The atmosphere is pulling and pushing on us. Like, you know, the barometer rises and falls, and it affects our psyche. You know, everything that we see and read, that does too. So it's understandable how some people are overwhelmed and give up and throw in the towel, but in her case, Angie Fenimore's case, the Father God, and she described him beautiful, a being made of light, you know, just flowing hair as if, you know, being a fan was blowing his hair, and the muscular chest and arms and a great white beard and a face like a statue, you know, chiseled perfectly. And his voice was booming. Is this what you really want? Is this what you really want? You know, those people that tried to commit suicide, she almost made it. She went to this place. It's known otherwise as purgatory. That's where the suicides go. And they stay there in a place of darkness, no light, no love, no hope. Just with other suicides like himself. They spend time there, like in suspended animation, in limbo, until either they're thought of in a good way and good words are spoken, or a prayer is prayed for them. And that's what I was going to tell you about, the key. And I've done this many times, and I'll continue to do it. When I hear people who have taken their lives that I know about, I always say a prayer for them, in the hope that it might release them from purgatory. You got to believe it, my friends, because your spirit, when you die, your spirit goes to different places depending on your evolution, what you were able to achieve here on Earth. You can make it all the way to the heaven, to the spirit world, to the sun, or you can go all the way down to the center of the Earth, otherwise known as hell or God's jail. Or you could stay above the surface of the earth and be a ghost. You know, we are all our potential ghosts. You, me, people that are ghosts. They make these movies, you know, ghost hunters, whatever. There were people just like you and me. There's no surprise there. I mean, and so they're in this realm. Some of them who died violently and suddenly don't know what's going on, but they continue to exist, and they're known as ghosts. Scary stuff, huh? Anyway, so say a prayer. And it's a very simple prayer for them. There was one man, you remember the group back in the 70s called Boston? It's more than a feeling. Oh, Boston was hot during their time, weren't they? I mean, they were great. They were awesome. Some of their songs, More Than a Feeling, Smoking, I forget some of the other songs. I had one of their albums back then. So they were the new supergroup. And I was trying to get in to see the show at Las Vegas. I was visiting a friend there in Las Vegas. I was living in San Diego, California. I forget what year it was exactly, maybe 78, 77. And so we went to the Aladdin Theater there, and we tried to get a ticket, but they were sold out. So me being who I was back then, a young, wild kind of guy, you know, very lucky to be alive, there's not a lot of people, saw that some people were trying to get in through the back way, you know, sneak in. So I went back there myself, and I was with my friend who I was staying with, and we went inside, and there was this ladder going up to the roof. So we started climbing up the ladder, and I was the first one up, and then there was somebody coming up behind me. I got up to the roof. There was like a trap door, you know, a door, and all of a sudden, I was up there in the attic. I looked down, and the guy coming up behind me was caught by the security, but they didn't see me. So I went across the roof through the attic, you know, through the boards, the V-shaped supports, you know, across. I heard a noise. I heard the band playing, and I saw the other trapdoor on the other side, and wouldn't you know it, I can't remember if it was closed. I think it was open. All of a sudden, I climbed down through that trapdoor down onto the, went down the stairs, the ladder, and I found myself right backstage there, and just around the corner was the band playing on the stage. And I was just standing there looking around, and somebody comes up to me and gives me a beer. And I thought, wow, this is great. And I looked and went to the corner of the stage, and I was looking like straight over there at the band playing. And they were rocking. Tom Schultz is the lead guitar player and the keyboard player for Boston. He was like an incredible musical genius. That guy was probably the main reason for the band's success, other than Brad Delp, who had an incredible vocal range, you know. So I was standing there watching them, and Brad Delp, the lead singer, he came over to me, and I was rocking, doing a little dancing, you know, just dancing to the music, put his arm around me and made me feel like $1 million. And shortly thereafter, the show ended, and I went down the stage, I went out on the stage, climbed down the stairs, and exited the building. Well, later on, I heard that a few years ago, Brad Delp committed suicide. I hope it wasn't because of me, but the point is, him and like many others, I've said a very simple prayer for them to help release them from purgatory. And I guarantee, in my opinion, that it will work. If you do that for anybody you know who committed suicide, anybody, if you have the courage, if you have the courage to do that, after all, this is the land of the free, home of the brave, right? I know we have there's an epidemic of cowardice out there, but you can do it too. I've done it before. I will continue to do it. Is there anybody out there who is like a bigger brother to me? It seems like I'm the only one. I rarely see anybody who has the kind of leadership skills, the courage, the evolution, the spiritual development that I have. Hardly anybody out there. I would like to see more. I'd like to see if I do have some brothers and sisters out there who are focused on evolving themselves. Am I the number one here on earth? I mean, I don't know hardly anybody out there who is as developed as I am. I would like for there to be more, you know. I would like a bigger brother. The generals that I've worked for in the Army, and I still work for the Army, they are the closest thing that I know to big brothers or big sisters. Their leadership skills, their independence, their strength, their commitment to duty, and they'll put you in your place if you make a mistake. You know, they're great leaders. I mean, I've had the privilege of knowing quite a few, and they are outstanding individuals, and they are as close as I care to believe in, of being, or that I think of as brothers and sisters, who I can look up to. Right now, I can't look up to many people, especially on the subject of spirituality, which is really all we're here for on Earth, to develop ourselves spiritually. And yet some people are carried away doing other things, going down other paths. You have a mission from God. We all have a mission from God. When we came, whether it's if you're a female spirit or a male spirit, when you're in heaven in your pre-existence, if you're a male spirit, you're mostly around the Father God. If you're a female spirit, you're mostly around the female, Mother God. Female spirit, mostly around the Mother God. We are kind of both. We have a little bit of both in us, just like the Supreme Creator is male and female. Yes, it's true. Like I said, we live in a universe of male, female, alpha, omega, yin, yang, positive, negative. And you can't create children without a mother and a father. Some of these people think there's only a Father God. They have no idea how the Father God creates children, their spirits and their souls. Well, he breathes them out. No, it's not that simple. You have a merging of spirits. You have the mother and Father God, they're soulmates. When you're created with your soulmate, two parts to a whole, two halves to a whole. When the mother and Father God reproduce, so to speak, oh, I'm sorry to burst your bubble and make you, excuse me, I'm sorry, didn't mean to offend you. But when they do reproduce, they merge their spirits. And Sylvia Brown, the great psychic medium who passed away recently, talks about it a lot, the merging of spirits. When you're with your soulmate in heaven, as spirits, you can actually, it's like the process of reproduction here on Earth, except their spirits become one. I mean, if you're that far evolved, that advanced, and you're thinking your thoughts in synchronicity, you're speaking your words in synchronicity, that's when, some people might say jinx, but that's how things are created. Yes. And so let's say you have a mother and father, God, they want to create a child, they want to create a very special child, or maybe they want to create a planet. And they merge their spirits, and they're huge. Because with the growth, it's all about growth. You see how we become adults? We grow up from babies. Now, don't you think the mother and father God are huge? I mean, just to give you an idea, probably about the size of two-story houses put together, That big, their spirits that big. So they merge their spirits and they think whatever they want to think, speak those words. I know it's a little different in the spirit world, because you don't have the vocal cords and the larynx and all that, but that process of communicating still exists when you cross over to the other side. And voila, presto, things are created. So it's that creating, that merging of spirits. And I hear that, according to Sylvia Brown, I read her book about this, that orgasms can last for like 7 minutes. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah, I can dig that, The merging of the spirits between soulmates. And ultimately, you want to get to that co-creator God status through the process of reincarnation, where you can create worlds, you can create planets. So there's enough infinite space out there for you to have your own little stretch of backyard. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, back to, for those that have committed suicide, have gone to this purgatory, a simple prayer for that individual soul would be very simple. God, Creator, Mother God, Father God, however you want to put it, please bless the soul of Brad Dell, for example. Please bless the soul of so-and-so. Very simple prayer. If you're courageous enough to do it, my friend, you can release that person from purgatory there where they're in suspended animation, isolation, sometimes for years. Angie Fenimore, when she went to this dark plane, she said she was transported there by this invisible energy at an incredible speed, and she found herself among thousands of people who were just in this dark plane, walking around, mumbling nonsensical things. She said she saw this guy with some garb on, some clothes that resembled the time of when people lived around Jesus' time, those clothes, robes kind of. And she, for a second in the book, she said, it looked like perhaps that was Judas. You know, Judas who hung himself. When people hang themselves, guess what? They go to purgatory. That's just a name for it. But it's a place. It's an isolated plane, a dark plane where there's no love, no hope, no joy, no happiness. And, hey, come on. Sure, come on. Got my show here. Thank you. So also, dark energy and dark matter is a real thing, you know? It's like a fence. They're corralled in this dark plane by a type of energy that keeps them in there. It's like an electric fence, if you will, but it's made of dark energy and dark matter. And that stuff, I mean, it pulls at you. You can't mess around with that stuff. It just it kind of pulls at you, eats away at you, and then swallows you. And it's a terrible feeling. You know what I mean? Come on. You can come inside. Thank you very much. You can go back out later. Thank you. That's our dog. She started barking, and so I brought her in. So, very simple prayer. God, I say God quite a lot, because I know that God means either Mother or Father God, or you can say Father God, or you can say Mother God, or you can say Supreme Creator of the Universe, please bless the soul of whomever. And you've done your part to release them from purgatory. If you're brave enough, if you're courageous enough. Coyotes out there. Right. Uh-oh. We're going to have a bark fest now. Looks like keep the dogs from coming out here. There's about 10 coyotes over in the distance. Right behind our backyard, there's a 24-acre park. Okay, before I start rooting, I wanted to... Those coyotes. There's some bad mappa jambas. Still there? Okay. Phone fell down. So here's something that would test your bravery, your courage. Go to a cemetery at night by yourself. Spend some time around there at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, walking around on a moonlit night or maybe a dark night. That'll test your bravery. And then you're ready to say prayers, any kind of prayers. You know what I'm saying? What else have I written down here? I just wanted to say there's a movie out there called Just Mercy. And I've written some things down that I wanted to talk about. And, you know, on the subject of racial discrimination, what the United States has gone through, and I understand, you know, what has happened, you know, with slavery over the years. It is that very process of evolution that is going on. It is a slow process, and we've come a long way, you know, throughout the centuries, and even yet today, there's discrimination in places like, or just even recently, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, in Alabama, some of the southern states, the way they treated black people is just disgusting, really. I mean, and them not getting justice. If you've seen the movie Just Mercy, you know, about a man who was blamed by the police for committing this crime he didn't commit, put on death row, and it was really despicable. Some of the thinking of these people that live in these areas of the South, and I don't know if it's much better now than it was back in the 80s or the 60s, you know. I'm hoping that it is, because it really shows a lack of intelligence on their behalf and a very poor evolutionary status, if you will. You know, these young souls who think, you know, that they're not just a human being like everyone else. And in all fairness to them, though, they're born and raised that way. They're told by their parents and their grandparents that they have to be this way because, you know, at one time that they lived on a plantation and slavery was a thing that was accepted back then. So it's logical that it be accepted now, which is nonsense. That's illogical, actually. But really, you know, I see that. I enjoy the acting, too. But what has happened to some black people, and I lived with an African-American woman who was very loving and kind and accepts me for who I am. I couldn't ask for a better wife, actually. She is very beautiful. She's got a beautiful soul and spirit, very wise, very loving. I'm very fortunate to have been married to her now for almost 10 years. I've got a stepdaughter who lives with me, 3 grandchildren. And I know what they're going through. You know, they haven't had an easy life, really. They just moved in with us back in 2013. And it hasn't always been peaches and cream, so to speak, but things are going now, well, better than they were before. And next thing I've got here, before I start reading, so just another thing about Jesus, you know, when he came on the scene, the law of the land was Moses, right? So who's greater, Jesus or Moses? Moses saw the face of God. Moses actually communicated with God. Well, Jesus, they say he was the Son of God. Well, I'm the Son of God also, okay? Doug out there on BBS Radio, Doug and Don, they're sons of God too. Jesus taught us to pray, right? It says it in the Bible. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, anybody with half a brain would have to realize we're all sons and daughters of God, mother and father God, in heaven, on the Son. And also, the supreme creator of the universe is like our great-great-great-grandfather. And guess what? The Sun in the center of the Milky Way galaxy also has a mother and father God on it, you know? And so it is throughout the universe that way, my friends. Those extraterrestrials that are out there are real. Some have been traveling around the universe for millions of years. And here we are on a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, many, many light years from the center of where the Big Bang was initiated. Well, I'm looking at my notes here over the week. So Father God does love Mother God very much, you know. What is a man without a woman? You know, for those that think there's only a Father God, you've only touched the tip of the iceberg when you're thinking. You know, it's time to evolve past that and realize, you know, help the world evolve to a higher level. Change your way of thinking from just a Father God to a Father and Mother God. Here on Earth, we have male and female, so why do you think it's any different in heaven, right? Males, females, mothers and fathers, creating children here on Earth. It's a very beautiful process when you think, you know, the seed that's fertilized and the baby, the embryo that begins to grow, the fetus developing in the womb for 9 months, everything that we went through ourselves, become babies, being born as babies. It's not something to take lightly. It's like your heart, too, that's beating independently of your will. You can't control your heartbeat. And the lungs that purify your blood. As the Bible says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, you can't have children without a mother and father, period. End of discussion. Case closed. Jordan fades back. Shoot, swish, game over. You need a mother and a father to create children. And we are the children of God. Now, some people might tell you differently. The Bible, you know, I quote it in many different situations. And as I said before, I don't believe everything the Bible says. There's no such thing as an only son or an only daughter. And the Bible doesn't talk much about women because women were mistreated back then. They were very less than equal to men back in those days, and you know it. Then you still want to believe in the Bible, which was created by men who discriminated against women. Big time. If you want to continue to believe in everything the Bible says, that's up to you. But in my mind, you're a young soul if you do that. Just evolving. But then again, we're all souls, and whether I'm like in I have a younger brother or sister who's, you know, a few grades lower. Doesn't mean that I'm any better than them or smarter than them. I just have been alive longer than you have, you know. It's the same thing with souls. I've been alive longer than you have. I've had more past lives than you have. Doesn't make me any better than you. But you got to get with it. You know, you're here on Earth. Tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us, you know. You know that. People tell you that all the time besides me. So why don't you get on with developing yourself spiritually, you know, evolving and making the world a better place, you know. Just like that reminds me of that song by Genesis called Land of Confusion. This is the world we live in, and these are the hands we're given. So make this a place worth living for. And truly, we do live in a land of confusion. You know, the truth is not clearly defined in many instances. And we have to search for the truth. And we can't take for granted what a book or any other source of information says without considering it logically, without applying it to our own lives, thinking about it, reflecting on it, living it. You know? You see what else I've got here. Discipline. That's one thing I appreciate for having been in the Army, is that we need discipline in our lives in order to do the things we do. And thank God that I did spend time in the Army, because, and they should make it mandatory for young men and women to join the military to get that discipline training. It's so important, I feel, because, you know, with the virus, one perspective I have of the virus is, you know, we live in a world where there's a lot of bacteria. We're constantly being bombarded by bacteria. And that bacteria actually exists in our body, but it's kind of dormant there. And so this new virus that, you know, that came upon us recently, you know, about a year ago, it comes to the surface, or it wakens up when our immune systems are lowered, if you will. And one of the things that will lower your immune system is overeating, or eating too many sweets. That's why, especially around Thanksgiving, you notice the spike in the COVID cases around the world. Well, around the United States, especially. So the key, my friends, is moderation, you know. Personally, I don't overeat too much, and I don't eat too many sweets, but when you do overeat or eat too many sweets, your digestive system has to work overtime, so to speak, and then your immune system is lowered, and that's when the virus attacks. Remember that, please. So everything in moderation. You know something? The Spanish flu attacked the world in 1918, right? That was right at the end of World War One. You know the movie 1917 is all about World War One. Do you know when that came out? Excuse me. Let me take a drink of water. In the theaters, December the 25th, last year, 2019. Does that mean anything to you? I think there are many reasons why we have this pandemic now, but imagine releasing a movie. That's around about the time when the pandemic begins, supposedly. A movie about 1917, a movie about war, another violent movie, a true story nonetheless, but still violent. Seeing the way people were back then, you know, and then 1 year later, the Spanish flu hit and killed millions of people. So they released this movie in 2019, December the 25th, and then the next year, the pandemic hit. Coincidence? Maybe. Also, another thing, I don't know if you knew, that is, there have been some people that have studied the 1918 Spanish flu virus, the DNA, and they recreated it to learn how to deal with it in the event that it happened again in the future. And they said it was under controlled circumstances, and they, you know, of course they did it in a safe environment, but how can you be, if you don't know too much about it, how can you be sure that stuff is going to get out, you know, or it might have gotten out? Anyway, just some food for thought there, my friends. So now I'd like to read one of my favorite near-death experiences by a man named Lou Famoso. And let me show I got my connection here. Okay, still good. Lou Famoso was a Vietnam veteran who came back from the United States. Check out this near-death experience website. It's called neardeath.com. Near-death.com. It's got a listing of all these experiences. It's great spiritual development, my friends. That's what you need to do. That's why we're here for. I've learned from other people. You can learn from me, and you can learn from them, okay? So here's a really incredible near-death experience. And I'm going to put my phone on my tripod here so I can read it. Okay. Here goes. So I told you before, I want to become a voice actor. So you have to learn to read very well. That's one of the reasons I'm doing this. Okay, here goes. Lou Famoso is a Vietnam veteran, having served two tours of duty there. Before he was about to be discharged from the Navy in October of 1964, he returned to the U.S. from Vietnam and was going to attend a huge party for a friend of his. It was 1963. And he just bought a brand new model of the up-and-coming 1964 Mustang. He was running late for the party, so he was doing 100-plus miles per hour on an open stretch of road. With his radio blasting, he had nothing but a good night of partying on his mind. Suddenly, the front end of the car went nose down and dug into the asphalt. In less than a second, his Mustang flipped head over heels. So as not to slip into unconsciousness, he managed to count every one of those flips, thinking the last flip would be the last one he'd ever have to count. It took 9 flips to finally cause his car to lose all the momentum necessary to bring it to a screeching halt. He managed to crawl out of what was left of the back window of his car and fell to the ground. What followed was a near-death experience so transcendental, Lou prefers to call it a life-after-death experience. Indeed, according to his doctor, it was a miracle that Lou survived. His encounter with the being of light and the archangels Michael and Gabriel, and his visions of the future concerning the constellation of Orion, makes his experience one of the most exceptional near-death experiences I have ever read. I no sooner got to my feet, and this is from him after the car. Car's burning. He's on the ground outside. I no sooner got to my feet when I heard an explosion, and the shock blew me for what I figured was another 20 to 30 feet through the air. I started to get up again while wiping my face so that I could see where I was in relation to the car and the flames. But no matter how hard or how fast I wiped, I just couldn't get what I now knew was blood covering my eyes. I hear these angelic voices way off in the distance. They're calling out my name and seem to be getting louder and louder. Lou, baby, Lou, come over here. Come to us. And I'm thinking, no, thank you. I've gone through enough tonight, and I don't need any more surprises. I felt these hands reaching me and pulling me. I realized that those that were pulling me were actually holding me up, and they were 5 of the girls from the party I was going to. Out of the body and on the way to the hospital. When they noticed I hadn't shown up yet, they decided to come to the base to hurry me up so that I wouldn't miss out on that going away party. It was their headlights I saw headed my way just prior to the crash, and they were hysterical watching this car flipping and careening down the road right before their eyes, bursting into flames. But the real horror was when they found out it was my car. all I remember them saying was, better not die on us. And I wanted to do them that little favor, so I flipped them a thumbs up sign with about all the strength I could muster by then. They were trying to whisk me into the back seat of it and rush me back to the base hospital. So I kept my promise. So I keep my promise. Three of the girls got into the back seat and the remaining two girls laid me across their laps. Then the two jumped into the front seat and gunned that Ford toward the base as fast as they dared. And believe me, they dared. As I lay across their laps, I heard one of them say through her tears, look, Lou, save Tiger. Tigger. I don't know why they said that. And when she reached for the stuffed animal, she was horrified to see the blood start gushing from my head again and immediately replaced Tigger to his life-saving duties. Okay, I understand now. Another one noticed my hand bleeding from the glass and tore up her skirt to make a bandage. I was thinking how great these girls were for not worrying about the mess I was making on them and their car. I suddenly found myself sort of sitting upright, looking out the back window of the speeding car, amazed at watching the burning, smoking blob that once was my Stang as it faded in the distance. I looked down to see the three girls crying and shouting hysterically to the driver to hurry up when it hit me. Wow, that's me on their laps, and there's nobody home. I'm looking out what was left of my poor crumpled Mustang from out there on the window. The other me is just laying there without a care. I tried to tell the girls I was all right and they could stop the crying and slow down a bit. I reached for the driver to get her attention and she turned her head slightly toward me. She seemed to be talking to the girl holding my other head, not me. She was saying she was going as fast as this eight banger would go. I felt no pain, no fear. I was with five girls speeding down the highway, me and me. What a night so far. When we pulled up to the hospital, both girls in the front ran out like it was a relay race, and they hit the doors running. I started to get out and headed for the swinging doors when they were back already with two corpsmen and a gurney. I stepped aside to watch them load that other me on it. As they whisked him away, I watched the other three girls compose themselves. All five headed toward the emergency room. I decided to follow since no one seemed to notice me and I wanted to see what all the commotion was about. Okay, I'm going to scroll down now to the good part. Because I don't have a lot of time. Because I don't have a lot of time left. I entered what I thought looked like the Holland Tunnel without the cars and traffic. And the ability to see what looked like light at its end. It was dark, but not black. The path was slightly illuminated from what I thought to be the sunlight shining from the other end. Well, there you go, the sun. The sun in our solar system, you know, creates a tunnel effect when you're in the spirit world, you know, as a spirit in that spiritual dimension. As I was being drawn toward the lighted end of the tunnel, I carefully looked around, even squinting to see into the darker recesses. I passed what I thought to be very religious men, doing what they would do when praying to their gods. They were all dressed in their finest garbs, robes, togas, headdresses, loincloths, and the like. Most of them were off to the sides of the tunnel, but one of them that I seemed to float right over looked oriental with a long, grayish Fu Manchu sitting there in the middle of the tunnel with his hands clasped and his feet crossed. Since I had just completed two tours in country, I figured he must represent the last of the religions I sought to make my own. I was raised Catholic, but withdrew from that faith at an early age and delved into many others from the Mian to Koran to Hopi, as well as all North and South American native beliefs. It looked like they were all represented here. So let me scroll down a little bit more. His life review and encounter with the being of light. Then in an instant, my entire life, starting from birth through the present, was flashing before my eyes like a strobe light at half speed, frame after frame, some parts in freeze frame, if only for a second, then on to the next. I felt as if I was being subjected to a test to see if this was, in fact, the me that was supposed to be here. Then it ended as fast as it had begun, The last scene was that of a rolling mass of metal finally bursting into flames, and I was looking at the canvas again. While staring into the vast whiteness, he's found himself in heaven, I glanced down to look at my body and use it for a reference, only to find the translucent outline I once had was no longer there. I thought, how could this be? Am I now part of this empty white canvas? But if I were, then where are my thoughts coming from to be asking these questions? Instantly, I recognized a brilliant, glowing ball of gold hitting my way. It grew larger as it grew nearer, and when it reached about the size of a beach ball just above and in front of me, it radiated brilliantly and transformed into an indescribable beam of pure light, now levitated right in front of me. It was larger than the tallest person I'd ever seen, wider than two of me, but so evenly proportioned as to be of magnificent stature. Its features were outlined as if made with a fine ink quill. Hair, face, robe, all golden and flowing, as would an electric charge, perhaps even a nuclear charge. This was energy personified. As its form took more on a more solid shape, all that was behind did as well. It was as if the entire canvas of white I had come to at the end of the tunnel was now alive, and I was part of it. Other features appeared in front and behind the being and myself. Some winged, most not. Some fully formed, others not. Yet even others appeared only as glowing orbs of light and color, bouncing as with bubbles in a glass of carbonated water. Meeting the archangels Michael and Gabriel, I could stand it no longer. Every emotion I had ever known was welling up in me tenfold. Just when I thought to speak to question, the being spoke to me. Its voice was as a chorus of voices, not male, not female, not loud, not soft, not deep, but perfect and all-encompassing. As I looked at the two gigantic, magnificent beings dressed in brilliant capes just off to its side, it said, "This is Michael and Gabriel. Michael has chosen you as his, and Gabriel shall teach you the ways." I looked past them to another large being, so beautiful but darker in contrast, as was the sprawling robe it wore. This being had eyes that pleased, but pierced with his gaze, and the light being said, "That is he who has been cast out, yet who I have given choice may go with any of these of your choosing." So Archangel Lucifer, but I don't believe that he was cast out, because God did not make mistakes. The Creator does not make mistakes. The Creator can look into the future and determine what his creation that he created would do, and she wouldn't allow a being to rebel. And even if that being did rebel, the Creator would have the power to destroy him or her, or destroy that angel, especially if it was harassing human beings. I thought I had a choice. Michael had already chosen me, then I would choose him. He appeared so strong and mighty, as did the others. But in his eyes seemed a fire that was drawing and captivating to me. Gabriel's eyes were softer and gave more an understanding manner and thought. Oh, how absolutely beautiful are these beings. So I'm just going to fast forward, because I've got about a minute or so left. So, that's enough for right now. I'm going to say one thing that maybe that was Father God. Maybe that was a combination of Mother and Father God. He said, in a voice not male nor female. So, I think this is what it says. If I continued reading, I would have read that being, which I believe was Father God. Well, let's say it could have been both Mother and Father God together with their spirits merged. She told Lufamoso that man will prey on men pray, P-R-E-Y, until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y for man. So I leave you with that. Please say your prayers for people. It does make a difference. There you heard. It's from that story. You can check it out yourself, neardeath.com, Lou Famoso. Read the whole near-death experience if you would, please, if you want to. That's what the Creator, let's call that being the Creator, told him, that beautiful being of light, that magnificent, beautiful energy, told him very clearly that man will prey, P-R-E-Y, on men until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y. Of course, I guess he could have used men and women, but you know what I mean. Sometimes they don't have time to say everything as it's supposed to be. So we are left to interpretation. You can do that. Don't throw away the meanings that I've been trying to convey to you just because I didn't deliver it properly, okay? Would you please do me that favor? You heard everything I said. I've got a few seconds left, so let me just say a prayer to the supreme creator of the universe. I can go above our mother and father God's head, if you will. Supreme Creator, you are great and awesome. Thank you for the miracles of all creation. Please be with us, guide us, bless us all, everyone. You are our grandfather, grandmother, so to speak. We love you. Thank you for everything. Please continue to bless us, guide us, and protect us, especially from the virus. Amen. Goodbye, everybody. See you next week. Talk to you next week. Bye.